mentioned last week, there's a Sefer Sharei Avraham, which is a relatively recent Sefer, and I've seen it earlier. So I noticed he has some interesting discussions about the point about relatives. So just to go back to that for a moment, and to give a little bit of an advanced taste of the sugya we're going to get up to, towards the end of our Stucky discussions, as we transition to the Gittin issues, so we'll talk about the general concept of kfir, about kofin, which is kind of how Gemara gets into Stucky in general. So there's an interesting discussion in the Sefer Sharei Avraham that we established that to give to your relatives is the highest priority, but it's a priority that's only relevant if you're giving your own money. And we emphasize that this is one area where there's a complete inversion of the halacha, depending on whether it's your own money or whether it's communal money. If it's your own money, you're obligated to prioritize your relatives. And if it's communal money, you're forbidden to prioritize your relatives. And there is some element of gezel that's suggested if you're going to take from the public fund and give to your relatives over other people. So what would you think of the following shahada? Let's say there's a person in your town who is very stingy. And when I say a little bit of an advanced taste, because this is really a kfiyah shayla. We'll talk about the details of kfiyah more during our regular sugya, but just to point out this question because it's relevant to the whole relative priority issue. Let's say you have a person in your town who is very wealthy, but very stingy. And he doesn't give money to anybody. And it's also the case that he has immediate relatives who are very needy, who he's not taking care of. So let's say the Bezdin in the city decides that they will take from him forcibly. So they are kofa him to give the staka. So they extract this staka money from him. Now, they have the money. So there are relatives of this individual who are very needy. Would it be proper for the Bezdin to give this money preferentially to those relatives? What do you think? What do you think about that issue? Anyone have any thoughts about it?
I think it's a challenge what is based in. It's based in like the makom, the man.
So clearly we have to figure out. That's why we're missing some steps there. We have to figure out exactly how kfiyah works. So we have a lot of discussion that we're going to have about that. But try to somehow keep that in the suspension. It's clearly a very important issue to the whole discussion. But what other stodim might there be then? So let's say we can't totally figure it out right now. So what other possibilities are there to this issue? Should we say, on the one hand, that, listen, it's only him who's supposed to prioritize the relatives, but the one who is collecting it now communally, so now it becomes communal money and it's wrong to prefer the relatives? Or should we say, and this is something we'll discuss today hopefully, that maybe the priority that goes to whoever is highest on the list creates a certain tangible shibud, that essentially the relatives have a claim to this money. So when the Bezdin collects it, they should really then meet it out to these relatives.
Nachum? And the Bezdin forced him to use
stuff. So that we saw. So we have to see it. Not necessarily. It seems like general stuff theoretically is subject to kfiyah. That's a sugya again, I'm kind of getting ahead of ourselves that we will get into that in more detail, but theoretically, yes. Theoretically, Bezdin can force staka. So working off that assumption for now, so is it right for them, once they collect this, to now prioritize his relatives over the other needy in the town? So the Sharei Avraham notes that this is a subject of the Hafla. The Hafla, you may be aware, Hafla is an important sefer in Ksuvos. He writes this in his Kedushin to Ibn Ezra, who's one of the Rebbeim of the Sam Sofer. We mentioned that last week a little bit, because he also wrote a sefer upon the Yonkos and Kumit, which was quoted as part of the explanation of the Din of the Niyeh Yerach HaKodmeh. It's very influential in all of
she would, which is really the strongest point. Or should we say that no, that this is only a din in the individual? The one giving has a kiyum by preferring his relatives, but once it's left his hands, so that's no longer relevant. So I think there are a lot of fascinating shilas that are opened up by this question, and some of them will take us more into the tefiyah sugya. And they also build upon what we've seen so far about whether priorities are about your personal fulfillment, the mitzvah, the halakha, the drop of kind of sense, or about the halakha, the riyata, the mocha kind of sense. Presumably, the bezin is not there to help you with your spiritual development. Presumably, the bezin is there because you have other responsibilities. Although, we'll see that that's also not 100% clear, that one of the figures in Tzubis is by kofin el mitzvos in general. Practically speaking, the Shire of Ram assumes that it's a suffix, he doesn't really have a clear hakra. So he says, maybe that puts us in a big problem, that maybe now the Bezdin can't do anything with this money, because if it gives the money to a general unneeded, so maybe there's a concern they're basically stealing from the Krogan. And if you give the money to the Krogan, then maybe that's the Shash Gezel that we talked about by a Gabbai giving the money preferentially to his relatives, and therefore maybe we're in trouble either way. So I think that's probably an untenable conclusion. It's very hard to imagine that the money should be collected for stock purposes and then left at Shiabo Leo. It's not going to help anybody. He himself, the Shire of Ram, has a different solution out of it after saying that. And he says that maybe we should do this essentially in front of the quote-unquote donor, the unwilling donor. And then it'll be like we'll see when we talk about Gittin, the famous comment to the Rambam, even though we haven't gotten the sugi yet, but that we're sort of the Rambam's comment that when you force somebody to give a get, he makes before you do. So his inner ratzon comes into play, and it's as if he did it. So basically, we should do this in his presence, so it'll be essentially the repeat kite for him to give to his relative. I think personally that, again, first of all, whether you accept this logic or not, it's very hard, you certainly to say that this money should be left for no one, not because of everyone. So it's hard to say that this money should be taken and then left for something. So I think there is a strong side to give it to the relatives, because a general gabbai to give to his own relatives, that's going to be a chashash gezel, because his objectivity is compromised by the fact that he wants to give to his own relatives. So if he's giving money to people who may not really be the worthiest an objective standard, and that's wrong. He's inserting his own preferences into what should be objective preferences. But here, so these aniyim had a certain kedima, so you have the tzad that maybe there's a shibur to them anyway. And as we'll maybe mention in a few minutes, might as well mention now, the stipler has a piece in the book of Basra, the first part of the book of Basra, where he essentially makes this point that there's two dinim in stock. General stocker that one has the right to give to whoever he wants and nobody else can claim. And then there are situations where the kedimus is so clear that it's essentially called mamon shi'eshel tovin, meaning it's money that has somebody who can actually lay claim to it, that there really is somebody who has a tangible legal right. So I think that sad that that's true here is probably strong. And you don't really have the chash gezel because the gabbai, which is the bezin, give to these relatives, it's not because he has a negiya to give to his own relatives. It's because he has a swara that of all the aniyim around, it makes sense that this money should go to this aniyim, because maybe he would have gotten it anyway, if he didn't have the relative actually come through. And you recall also that we discussed last week that maybe there's a kind of a general preference for people to give to their relatives, not just the left of the drafa, but also also we have for echa kamocha, most efficient if everybody takes care of their own relatives. So if you have somebody who could be taking care of his own relatives and isn't doing it, so it makes sense that Bezdin should then get involved specifically toward those relatives. So it's hard to say that the stain of Gezel that would apply to a gabbai who gives to his own relatives is going to apply to Bezdin who gives to somebody else's relatives from that person's pocket. It's hard to say that the concern is so strong in that side of the equation. On the other side of the equation. That's again just Miswara. Any thoughts about that? Anyone think differently? So what's also interesting, just while we're mentioning the sefer, is that he has a next piece. He has a discussion about, let's say you have somebody who's completely shy a little bit. Let's say you have somebody who's not stingy, right? Somebody who's a big balsafa. He gives to the tzaddik all the time. He always gives to the communal kupa. No time is against him in general, stinginess terms. But he has relatives whom he's neglecting. So the scenario he paints there, which will be easier to imagine, so let's say his wife sees that he's giving all his money to Staka, and she feels bad because she has a brother who's poor. Right? So you can easily imagine, you know, some of these brother-in-law stories. Right? So the husband's a big about Staka, but he's not interested in pumping up the status of his brother-in-law by making him any better off. And the wife, who feels as she should, accord with the brother, so she is concerned about this rightfully. So she wants to somehow force her husband to do this. But under Yehuda has a tshuva in general, which he talks about. We'll talk about this when we talk about Kia, about a wife who's upset that her husband is stomach giving stock. So does she have right to manipulate the family funds to make the money go to stock because the husband is not doing it? And there's a tshuva that we'll talk about in the context. So this is a different case. The husband is giving stock. So does she have the right, or does it have the right to interfere and to say that the tzedakah that he's giving should go to the brother-in-law, should go to the relative. So that's also a little bit of a suffix here, that Shaila is more complicated, because maybe you should say that when we get involved in kfiyah in the first place, so then, okay, we can talk about how we should spend that money that is being collected. But maybe we don't have a right to be kofra. This is related a little bit to Nahum's point also. Are we kofra at all cases? Highest priority, but he is giving tzedakah. So do we have the right to even get involved then in interfering with how it's done? Or is that essentially a din to him? Or is this a din that this is something that the community as a whole can interfere with? That's also a subject, an interesting subject that we'll come back to. One last point from the Shaila Avraham before moving further. So this that we mentioned, but just also to expand on. So we talk about relatives. So how do we prioritize the relatives? So in general, we follow the rules of Yerusha. Yerusha is a way to show us who's the closest. So whoever is Kovim Lanavala is Kovim, or is Kovim Lanavala is Kovim for its stuck in priority also. But there is an exception to this. I think we talked about this last week. We have to talk about it now. That parents are the highest priority on the stuck list. The parents come first. Even though the parents are not the first yorshim, when it comes to parents, eventually yorshim is a thing in between, but children come before parents. When it comes to tzedakah, so parents come before children. And we discussed that that is a reflection of the fact that tzedakah priorities sometimes come from other places. Sometimes they're not just about tzedakah purely, but they're also about other mitzvot that are involved in the tzedakah that you're giving. So Kibbutz Avim is a big mitzvah. This was brought up by some of you in the previous weeks. And therefore, that can dictate a priority, even though it's an additional mitzvah on top of tzedakah. So this will affect the normal rule that when it comes to prioritizing tzedakah, so because of the imperative of Kibbutz Avim, that will push this to the top of the list. The Chasam Sofer has a truth about this thing. Maybe you mentioned it, if you don't remember. Where he also writes that he thinks that this deviates from the normal rule of distribution. That as we mentioned, that when we say there's a priority, something is higher on the list, it normally means that it just comes first in terms of some kind of proportional distribution. So whether it's half or two-thirds, different numbers, but you'll give a high percentage of your stuff at the number one on the list, and then a high percentage of what's left to number two, and then a high percentage of what's left to number three, etc., etc. Maybe you'll also be affected by who is the poorest. That will also be a part of it. But the Chasam Sofer writes that the father is such a priority that he'll come first, he'll jump the line, and he'll also jump the line in terms of proportion. That if you have a needy father, so then you should really give him a command to all of your tzedakah and not leave much overlap for anything else, because a needy parent is such an overwhelming priority. This sefer, Shaila Avraham, actually knows that this is something that's kind of upside down about the world, that usually people would put their parents last on the tzedakah priority, partially because they don't think of it, and partially because it's uncomfortable. You know, how do you treat your parents as stuff recipients? It's not something that can be done so smoothly. So now it takes off. It's not something that should be done in a way that's not very careful about the dignity. And it doesn't have necessarily have to even be identified as stuff. It could be identified as an expression of gratitude. But the point is, whatever reason it is, that this is kind of upside down about the world, and most people doesn't occur to them that if the parents are needy, they should be high on the list of stuff. So he has another interesting discussion about this, which a little opportunity of synergy for those who were with us last semester. Actually, the week that I wasn't here, but that they were getting shirim from Schwartz and others, so I believe he talked about the sugya of Kibarach HaGadol. So it's interesting that just a little bit of synergy on that. It's also a super sugya of Kuf Gimel, that the question could come up. So, okay, so parents are prioritized. But then it seems after that you go and follow your Rusha. So you go to the children next. So one could suggest that maybe if one has an older brother, that the older brother should come before one's kids, because there is a chiyuv of kavod for the older brother. So if kavod is enough to make the parents jump along, so it would seem, it's svara, that the older brother should also jump along because of kavod. And that's not something we find explicit in sources. Interesting question why that is. So you probably saw last semester that this machlokus in general was what is the nature of the chiyuv of kavod for an older brother. And that it's primarily a machlokus, the Rambam and the Ramban, that the Rambam understands the chiyuv of kavod to an older brother as essentially being like a parent. That the drasha and the pasuk, the Gemara has over there, so for the extra above, the Gemara has a drasha l'rabos aficha ha'gadol, and the Rambam seems to understand that that's a drasha gemura, it's a real dinman ha'torah, and that it shows that the bechor specifically, the oldest brother, as opposed to other rishonim would say would apply to any older sibling, brother or sister, and not necessarily the oldest, but the Rambam seems understand it specifically as the oldest brother than the Bechor, because the Bechor has the status essentially like a third parent. So then it's really an extension of Kibbutz, and it's really a third recipient of Kibbutz, so then it really does seem to be, it should have the same kind of status as a parent would have. But Ramban understands a little bit differently, that Ramban understands that respecting older siblings is basically a fulfillment of Kibbutz Ha'im for their sake. Because one of the details of Kibbutz Ha'im is that you do what makes them happy. So presumably, most parents want that there should be a hierarchy in the family, and that there should be a attention given to, deference given to the oldest siblings. That's why the Rishonim say like that, as soon as it's not about the oldest, really, or brother, it's about any older sibling. Hierarchy, and the younger siblings should be deferential great wine. So whoever you have a connection to is somebody you try to help in order of that who's closest. And we talked about whether it's helping to harmonize society and differences between the suggestions that some may be geographically based, but we find for the most part that it's not purely geographically based, and that those we have a shaykhus to, which the earlier sources I mentioned, the chapter asserts this point, we find this in the earlier svarim as well, that it's not necessarily about geography, it's about people who you have shaykhus to, which most svarim point out. But if you have a chavrusa who is needy, so the chavrusa presumably has a higher priority than somebody who happens to live a few blocks from you, because somebody who you're shaykhus to, somebody who you're involved with, that would be a for its darkness. So what about Eretz Yisrael as a whole? So you find the Shulchan Aruch writes that the priority is certainly given to Aniyei Eretz Yisrael. That's up on the list of priorities that are passed in the Shulchan Aruch. Some sofer, and independently of Tarat Nima, have a suggestion that within Eretz Yisrael that Yerushalayim has a preference. The later poskim didn't really see that as so compelling for the most part. Because to say Yerushalayim should have a preference, so first of all, why should it have a preference? Presumably you're saying because Yerushalayim has a higher level of Kedusha than the rest of the Eretz Yisrael. So then that's assuming that that Kedusha is nowhere to get at the same level, which is a little bit questionable. But also then, you're going to say you're talking about the old city. Yerushalayim as a municipality is defined today. So you don't find, for the most part, that the contemporary poskim accept that part. But Eretz Yisrael does have a priority. So let's think for a moment, why should that be? Why should Eretz Yisrael rank as a priority over the rest of the world? Okay. So what reason could it be that Eretz Yisrael should be prioritized?
Yishuv Eretz Yisrael.
Oh, so then that's similar to the Kibbutz Abayim idea, right? That sometimes we prioritize things not for pure stuffy reasons, but because of other mitzvahs that get involved. So since Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah, so then you could argue that Yishuv Eretz Yisrael means you should prioritize your stuffy there, and because that mitzvah is kind of grafted on to the mitzvah of stuffy. That's an interesting point. In general, the Athanasia has a tshuva where he knows the inverse of this, that we always assume that Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, we translate Yishuv as dwelling in there, that is settling in, so that we assume that it correlates to living in Eretz Yisrael. If you live in Eretz Yisrael, you're in fulfillment with Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, and that if you don't, then you're not. But it could be that that's not really the way, or the only way to look at it, and both ends. The Athanasius discusses the Neshuva, that let's say you live in Eretz Yisrael, but you're not contributing anything at all, and you're taking away resources from it without any contribution. Would that be a mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael? The Athanasius thought not. One of the stories that is often used in terms of making a decision whether to make Aliyah, living in a house, that's a part of the discussion. And inversely, if let's say somebody's not living in Eretz Yisrael physically, but can contribute to the resources there. So it might be that is the fulfillment of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So there is a, Abnezer makes this point that Yishuv doesn't necessarily mean only settling, it's the building it up. So if you're making it more settled by your activities, even if it's not your physical presence there, that might be a kiyum. And if you're making it less settled by even when you are present there, that might not be a kiyum. So there is an argument to make that this is a fulfillment of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. How else could you look at it?
From here? Because the Eretz Yisrael is the ideal place for us to be, and therefore we have any place that we should support. Our money should be allocated there.
You're saying that is different from Yishuv Eretz Yisrael?
It's just in terms of, it's not against the part of Yishuv, it's more just
support
higher going places in general.
It's like, even if you don't want to define Yishuv Eretz Yisrael that way, if you wanted to define it only as physical residence,
right,
you could still say a similar story. Take it kind of one notch below. Okay, Sammy?
More of a question on that, on Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Do we view that as we're supporting like the Niyam that are already there because there's the importance of this mitzvah? Or that if we say that we're giving priority to Eretz Yisrael, then Niyam are going to want to move there to get to Dhaka, and then there's more Yishuv
really has particular pressing relevance. But the other approach is to see this as an extension of the Anya Yirfa concept. And if you say that Anya Yirfa is something the Yamshaitas do, so if we assume that Eretz Yisrael is really the homeland of the entire Jewish people, even if they're not actually living there physically, so then that's also a Shaita. And we also assume, and this is part of the national debate, the international debate at the moment, that the entire Jewish people benefit from there being Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael, from there being people in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, it's kind of a, I use this word, a synergistic idea that we benefit in Chutz La'aretz from Eretz Yisrael, and that Eretz Yisrael is the nachla of even the Jews in Chutz La'aretz. So therefore, from a Aniya Yirfa perspective, there is a case to be made as a straight stucco priority that, without coming on to other mitzvos, that Eretz Yisrael has a interest for that reason. There is a machlokas, l'hadlo ben achayim ben achayim. There's a machlokas between Reb Chaim Sanzer and Reb Chaim Lozner about the following issue, which was discussed in the Tshuva of Mitzvos Lozner. Let's say you have a community in America, and a community in Israel, and that people from the community in America, this happens, all move to Eretz Israel to a certain defined location. So you'll have the YU community in Eretz Israel specifically. You'll have the First Call community in Eretz Israel. That's an identifiable community. So is there any greater priority for this American First of All community to prioritize that Israeli First of All community over others in Eretz Yisrael? So Chaim Sanzer thought not. He thought once you move, so you lose that status, and then it's no different than everybody else in Eretz Yisrael, the people. And Chaim Elazar thought, no, that there is a kedimus, that there is a priority for people who are connected, even though they're not physically here now, but people who are connected to your community in Chutz La'aretz and are now identifiable as those expats, let's say, in Eretz Yisrael now. So that maintains a kedimus, which shows also the interaction of the Aniya Yirfa and the Eretz Yisrael concepts. Now, what about if they're against each other? So this kedima for Aniya Eretz Yisrael, does that outweigh the kedima for Aniya Yirfa? You say that you have to give kedima for Aniya Yirfa. So this, as you can imagine, is a very controversial point, because there are many who do feel a greater pull to give parents a child than they are poor in their town. And it's a hotly debated point. The Bach assumes that it's Pashut that Aniya Yirfa really come first, and that this was his next, after you've addressed Aniya Yirfa to some proportional degree. So then Aniya Eretz Yisrael are more prioritized than the rest of the world. But Aniya Yirfa still come first. And that's the assumption of the Shach, of Rabbi Yosef, quotes a few like this as well. This is the assumption of the Mani Gedolei HaPoskim. There were those who disagreed. There were those who said at various times that the priority should be given to those in Eretz Yisrael. Sometimes that was emphasized specifically when poverty was very extreme. One could make a case also, again, in the global village, that there is a greater shaykhus now to people in Eretz Yisrael than people who are physically close to you, possibly. It could be that there's greater shaykhus, and you can help them immediately because of the global interconnectedness. And again, others are also going to have to chew about this as well. Would assume that the priority is still towards Aniya Yirfa, with Aniya Eretz Yisrael coming afterwards. Okay, so probably we'll end up continuing. There will be a little bit more. My phone is probably going to continue in a few weeks. We have to work
for
March 5th.
How many
Sundays?
It's 3 weeks from Sunday.
3 weeks from Sunday. Is that two Sundays? Okay, so maybe we'll say a little bit more about this next week, and then we'll
say a few words about that. So there is a concept of Makari Kuna. Many pronounce it Makiri Kuna because that's how it looks like in Gemara. Then Chaf Yod Reish Yud. Shachar always pointed out it should be Makari. It's a Rashash, I guess. Whatever it is, people in our Yeshiva will look at it funny if you say Makari Kuna, but Makiri Kuna. But whatever it is, whether you call it Makari Kuna or Makiri Kuna. So there is a Sukkot which appears in the Sabbath Skit, in the Sabbath Basket, so it. That if one is giving Trumas Maisers, giving Trumas to the Kohen, Maisers to the Levi, so theoretically you have what's called the Togas Hana to give it to anyone you want. You can give it to any Kohen, any Levi you want, as long as they qualify as a Kohen or Levi, so you can give it to whoever. There's no rule. However, the Gemara mentions, the Gemara seems to suggest that there is a concept of Makari, mean that let's say you have a Kohen who you're friendly with, and you know that you give him all the time, so he comes to rely on you. So then that creates a chiyuv to continue giving to him. It's a machlokas for Shonim what that concept is based on. It presumably built on some other halachic principle, but somehow it emerges that there is a continuing obligation to give to this Kohen. So based on that, there is a discussion that you were shopping in the shach, that should we say that there's a concept of makari aniyah? Let's say there is a poor person who you give to regularly, and he knows that you always give him. So should we say that you have a chiyuv to continue giving him? So the shach thought that there was such a concept. And the Maharshag was a Talmud of the Maharshag, who was a Talmud of some sofer, who was a Talmud of the Hafla. So it was a great grand Talmud of the Hafla we were talking about a few minutes ago. So to follow the chain all the way down. So the Maharshag taught that you can't really compare Staka in general to Truma and Meiser, because there is a very specific fee of Hafrasha and Sina. So maybe that is subject to a concept like this. He thought Staka wasn't really subject. Moshe Sternbach has a tshuva where he writes that he thinks in terms of major stock of gifts, you certainly do have a right to move it around as you see fit. But he says in terms of smaller gifts, maybe there is a reason not to be too quick to divert it from a regular recipient. And the truth is, the sukkah of Makari Kahuna, so that's one of the sources. Some of the Rishonim explain it based on the ideas of the Marbel Messiah. That Matan Ruedis, that you have a small gift that you are supposed to give somebody, so you're not allowed to reverse that. So that's the understanding. So perhaps that should apply to Staka as well. Okay, so basically, this is a neat point of division. We'll continue next week. What we have mostly discussed so far is how we prioritize between individuals, and drop more to say about that, and drop more to say also about different causes. So, Baruch Hashem, I'm going to give you additional Maamar Chumash next week, and we'll go with that. As far as tomorrow, also segues us right into tomorrow. If you recall, we were talking about the Hatzalah Sukkis last week, which was also about prioritizing between men and women, etc., etc. So, Baruch Hashem, we'll pick up with that tomorrow. Very important, as you can imagine, controversial. Highly debated sugya. So what did we talk about today, just quickly? So we talked about the Safi. If you are taking money forcibly from somebody from Saka, should you then give it to his needy relatives? Where does that, should that be viewed through the prism of the individual's obligation or the communal obligation, which otherwise could give you opposite conclusions? How does that affect here? Interesting Safi. What if you have somebody who is giving to Saka but is neglecting relatives? Can you interfere with that? The idea that the father takes priority jumps the line, it's a deviation from the rule of Yerusha, as the closest relatives would get to put out. Some Sofer's points about that, about how even for other factors he jumps the line in terms of proportion and the like. And the discussion, shouldn't that apply to an older brother also? And moving from that, that also the idea that Kibbutz is involved in terms of how you treat your siblings, that Kibbutz is a reason to prioritize one stucka to them. Maybe it's also a reason to prioritize stucka to siblings, because that would also presumably be within their preferences. Then we talked about Ani Eretz Yisrael as a factor. We raised the question, why is Ani Eretz Yisrael a factor? Discussed the possibility that it's a key of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, so that comes from the idea of fulfilling standard stock, that maybe it's a Nir Yerechel. We look at different possibilities of how it could be considered Nir Yerechel. We talked about whether Yerushalayim has the Kedusha like that, so forth, and the Torah Tzniba thought. Others didn't accept this because it would only really be explained by Kedusha. Kedusha, it's a question how much it makes a difference, and also that would only apply to the old city, so it's not clear if that really enters into the discussion at all. And then the question of if you have an identifiable Chutz La'aretz community that is now Eretz Yisrael, so is that a preference? That was my focus with Tanya Sanzer and the Lazar, and the Lazar had a truth about. And we talked about the question of whether any Eretz Yisrael are prioritized over any Yerecha. The Bach, the Shach, many others assume no way. There were those who disagreed. It may also depend on Shaychus, which is also something that's going to play a role here. And then we talked about the question. Stifler's point earlier about how if there is a clear stock of priorities, so maybe that even creates a shiva, it creates a status of mom and spiritual atonement, that there are actually people who have a claim. And then we talked about this question of Makare Kahuna, which Mara tells us if you have the habit of giving to a specific calling, your shumas and maisers, so then that creates an obligation that continues. So there's a suffix whether or not Shami and the Shah talk about whether there's a concept of Makare Aniyim, should we say, not just by the Shumas and Maestros, but also by the Staka, that there was such an idea. The Shach did think so. Our Shach thought that Staka is too vague for that. And we mentioned the Shuvah for Shterba, that by